Hello again, welcome to the program. We are here continuing in our series in the book of John. Once again, John 20:31. We have the purpose for this book. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name. Just a quick review. In John chapter 11, we find that Jesus gets the message that Lazarus was very sick, sick unto death. Martha and Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus, that was his sisters, but Jesus did not rush. He waited a couple more days, we see in verse 6, and when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And then Jesus announced to his disciples that they were going to Bethany. The disciples were very concerned for their safety. They tried to talk him out of going, especially influenced by Thomas. In verse 6, we read, "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his disciples, Let us go, that we may die with him." Verse 14, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." Now, you remember they thought Jesus had said he was asleep, and they thought, well, if he's asleep, let him sleep. Another excuse not to go. So he said plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. I'm glad for your sakes. I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." And so it's an interesting thing that in John 20 and 31, our verse for this whole book, "These things have I written unto you, Christians, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Sometimes we'll believe him to save us. Yeah, I believe he saved me. I'm going to heaven. Do you believe he's going to take care of you today and tomorrow? In John 11 and 16, as we read, "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now, after the resurrection, in John 20 and 25, and this is only about 10 days later, we read that Jesus has risen from the dead, "And the other disciples therefore said unto him," that is unto Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." What we have here, unbelieving believers, and we can look at Thomas. Sometimes I think we do best just to look in the mirror. Well, we read in John 11 and 17, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he was laid in the grave 4 days." Now, 4 days already. And so I wonder, he already knew that. He found that he was in the grave. What's this mean? Well, it means the same as it did in Mark 14 and 40 when they were in Gethsemane. And it says, "And when he returned, he found them asleep." What is happening here is he is establishing the fact that Lazarus has been dead 4 days. That's what he's talking about here. There's a couple other resurrections that we have recorded in the New Testament that Jesus did. One of them is in Luke 7, where we read, "And he came and touched the briar," that we would call a casket, "and they bare him, stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother." Another occasion in Matthew 9 is a young girl. "He said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth, and they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose." So we have two people here that that were risen from the dead by the Lord. But the Jews, when someone died, they buried him the same day. So someone might say, oh yeah, maybe they weren't really dead. Well, we have established the fact here, so very important, that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. There's no question about this. Nobody's going to say, well, maybe he wasn't really dead. The professional mourners were there for the first 3 days, and then they left. And then the family and the friends who really cared were there. And that is when Jesus came. Very interesting, I think. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. That's less than 2 miles away. And again, John 11:8, his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late, that means right recently, right now, sought to stone thee, and thou go thither again. And then we read, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, these are not the professional mourners, these are the ones who came after the third day. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. These sisters are opposites, as so often is with two siblings. One is totally focused on serving, and one is totally focused on worshiping. Now, in that story, you remember, in another gospel, we read that Martha was serving and Mary was worshiping, and Jesus said, Mary has chosen that better part. But I have found that if the devil can't get us to stop doing what is right, he will get us to overdo what is right. It's right to serve Jesus. But if he can't get you to stop serving him, he'll get you to serve him all the time. Don't take time to worship. And if we are going to worship him, don't overdo it. There's time to worship and there's a time to get to work. There needs to be a balance. And the same thing is true in many other areas. If the devil can't get us to stop being separated from those that are doing wrong, he'll get us to overdo it. Again, the Bible talks about preaching and teaching, two very important subjects. Preaching is to herald. That is when the herald came out on his horse. He said, hear ye, thus saith the king. He didn't come to teach anything. He came to give him a statement. This is what the king said. He didn't water it down in case some people left town. He didn't compromise the message so people would like him. He just said, this is what the king says. That's preaching. And then there's teaching. That's when we can dialogue, talk, stop, ask questions. Let's find out what this verse really means. Both of them are important. But if the devil can't get us to stop doing right, he'll get us just to preach all the time. And sometimes preaching in our so-called fundamental churches, they'll grab a verse and preach from it about as far from it as you can imagine. And we need to understand that every verse in the Bible has a singular interpretation. It might have many applications, and we need to figure out both of those, and we need to have a balance. Once again, if the devil can't get us to stop doing what is right, he will get us to overdo it. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. It's interesting that when Mary came in verse 32, she fell down at his feet, and Mary in the book of John is always at his feet, and said the same thing. If thou had been here, my brother had not died. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, if we look at these verses here and why she said she knew it, there's several occasions prior to this where Jesus had talked about the resurrection. And so they understood that, but that is not exactly what Jesus was talking about here. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What was her answer? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, that is the Messiah, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Not quite the answer to his question. Now we see in verse number 28, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Then the Jews, which were with her in the house and comforted her, these are the ones who cared, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Interesting, he groaned, he was troubled, he wept. Hebrews 4:15, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. The hymn writer has written a song that Jesus cares. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. Then said some of the Jews, Behold how he loved him. But look what they said. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? I put it here on the slide, all these references. I think there's 14 of them where it refers to Jesus as this man. They did not accept him as the Messiah. There's no reason why they shouldn't have, but they didn't. It's a choice. It's simply a choice. And so Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. It's interesting, Martha, when we have the story back in Luke 10, where they were having a supper at the house of Simon the leper, Martha said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Dost thou not care? Oh, Martha, she's no different than the disciples. Remember in Mark 4, and they were going across the lake, and the boat was full of water, and Jesus was sleeping. And they came to him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Sometimes I think we get a little hard on Thomas, or a little hard on Martha, or a little hard on these disciples, actually asking him, don't you care? Why was he got up in the story of Mark, as we've said before, he sharply rebuked them. He rebuked the wind, storm was calm, and then he rebuked the disciples. Where, he said, is your faith? Now, why did he rebuke them? Because at the first of that chapter, he said, we're going the other side. At the end of the chapter, they're at the other side. And we should never doubt in the storm what God has taught us in the sunshine. And so, carest thou not? What a silly question to ask the Son of God. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. Verse 46, Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And as has been said, if he didn't say, Lazarus, come forth, the whole graveyard would have come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin, and Jesus saith unto him, Loose him and let him go. What a lesson we have here for someone who gets saved, alive from the dead. You will not come unto me, Jesus said, that you might have life. But we're still wrapped up with these grave clothes and a lot of work to do that we could walk the way that Jesus wants us to walk. Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Oh yeah, the Pharisees had said, if you know where he is, you better tell us because we're going to kill him. And so then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all. These people don't get along well. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Now these ignoramuses, they knew what the Old Testament taught, but they refused to believe in Jesus. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. Yeah, they knew. And not for the nation only, but also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad, referring to the Gentiles. And so we have that whole situation now. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim. And there he continued with his disciples. Verse 55 tells us the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. The Passover, one of those meetings they were commanded to be at. There's some say as high as 1 million people coming into Jerusalem for this Passover. Very interesting. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, it's called the Lord's Passover. Not anymore. John 11:55, it is the Jews' Passover. In 2 Chronicles 7:2, it's called the Lord's house, the temple. In Matthew 23:38, Jesus said, Your house is left unto you desolate. Interesting. Well, here we are in the church age. Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build my church. Revelation 2:5, he said, I will come unto thee quickly, except you repent. I will remove thy candlestick. And Revelation 1:20 tells us the candlestick is the church. Oh yeah, it used to be what Jesus called my church. Not anymore. I will remove thy church. And so 56, then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple. What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Well, this ends the first section of the book of John. From here on, all the rest, all the way up to John 21, covers the last week. So we're looking at basically 3.5 years in these first 11 chapters, and all the rest of the book of John deals with the last week when Jesus was here on earth. Also, the focus changes from the crowds to ministering to his disciples. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name. Be sure to be with us for our next broadcast.